Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and of course, BaltimorePositive.com. Lots of great stuff coming your way this week, but nothing better than our Crab Cake Row that's going to begin on February 5th. We've gone to plenty of Super Bowls, 28 Super Bowls this year. I'm taking the week off. Luke will be out in Las Vegas. It's anything but off for me. We're doing marathon radio. We're going to do live radio for the first time in a long, long time. I'm a little nervous. I ain't done live radio in a while. But 9 to 5 every day. We're going to begin on Monday at Lexington Market at Fadley's. Tuesday, we'll be there all day at Costas in Dundalk. Wednesday, we'll be down at Coco's in Lauraville. Then on Thursday, we're going to be over at State Fair. I got my State Fair in Catonsville shirt on with the Maryland flag. Shout out to Lefty Giselle, by the way. I all this football talk, we had the Terps and a little lefty love. I saw Len Elmore and Tom McMillan, two of my favorite people, getting together. So if I got my State Fair, that's Thursday that's going to happen. And then on Friday the 9th, we're going to be wrapping things up at Pappas in Cockeysville. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have some Oh Snap scratch-offs. I have a handful of Raven scratch-offs still give away. Yes, you can still buy these and win. Some of the big prizes were gone from a couple months ago, but you can still win and play. And Luke Jones will be hopefully in Las Vegas. I'm not sure. We're going to be eating crab soup, Maryland, and cream of crab soup for a great, great cause. It's a crab cake row. We call it a cup or bowl, a cup of soup or bowl during Super Bowl week. It's all for the Maryland Food Bank. You come out free soup if you bring something for the Maryland Food Bank. Very, very easy. We're going to feature 100 different charities that week and ways that, you know, Luke, we would go to all these Super Bowls. How many did you do? 10, 12? How many Super Bowls have you done?
It was around 10, I think. I think the 2011 Super Bowl was my first time on Radio Row, and up until the pandemic, which would have been the
Miami
the year the Ravens lost to the Titans. Yeah. So that 10. Yeah, I did 10. So yeah, ready to. You know, Ravens take care of business, be heading out to Las Vegas.
Well, like, you know, I'm doing live radio for a week, right? And it's like 8 hours a day, 9 to 5. And a lot of it's just about the businesses. I don't need to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning. We'll have good stuff on the radio all week. You and I are going to be, if you're out in Vegas, and we'll continue to talk if. I've been talking if since I started this promotion idea back in Thanksgiving, telling clients we were doing something for the Maryland Food Bank and reaching out to dozens so far. If anybody has a charity that I need to know about, that I need to feature, this is the week to do that. That's why my friends at the Maryland Lottery and Window Nation and Jiffy Lube love the idea as well, that we're featuring local charities. But Luke, we would get out of bed at 4:35 in the morning. We would do live radio at 6 o'clock. Sometimes the phone lines didn't play nice in convention halls. Cost tens of thousands of dollars to do this, that I passed along to clients and sponsors who Toyota and Coors Light and Lord knows how many people sent us there. Howard Bank 1 year, the late, great Howard Bank. Shout out to Marianne Scully over at Loyola as well for her. But so all these years we've been doing it, and I really thought about, like, the number one thing that happens that week. Yeah, you know, Snoop Dogg might come by and Adam Sandler, although there was a lot less of that. I was in L.A. 2 years ago. Even in L.A., the NFL has made it so onerous on everyone to have guests, to have celebrities. They own all the Sirius. The ESPN people left the building 15 years ago. NFL Network left the building 10 years ago. I mean, it's basically sort of akin to the press pass that the Rangers gave me in Arlington. Like, you get to sit at the kids' table with the podcasters and the gambling folks now. So it's different. But all of these years of doing it live and doing it on tape and the way we did it for 28 years – the thing at the heart of all of it is every one of these celebrities that would come by, yeah, they would be pimping a jeweler or a website or a thing or talking about an affliction or whatever. 92% of those pieces that we ever did during Radio Row Week had a charity angle, right? Like, everybody there came for a cause of some kind, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there was always something, you know, whether it was – you know, sometimes it'd be a product. I remember Dick Vermeil had his wine for years, even though he never gave us any of it, which is always disappointing. But yeah, there's plenty of good causes. And I know you're going to be very busy with that over the course of the week, and looking forward to it. Hoping for the Ravens' sake, I'll be in Las Vegas. But if not, if they don't take care of business on Sunday, I'll certainly be joining you and hearing all the great fun.
Dick Vermeil gave me a little, it wasn't a business card. It was a laminated thing to put in your wallet to inspire you. And all of this, they can't care about you till they know you care about them. You know, things like that, and all of these teaching axiom of wisdom, woodenisms, as I would call them, that, you know, at various points I've had plastered up on the walls around my place. But this is going to be an interesting week, dude. I felt like the Chiefs and the Bills on Sunday night was a real heavyweight fight. I didn't feel like the Ravens were in a heavyweight fight. I feel like the Ravens special teams their way and poor offensive line and picking up blitzes and whatever in the first half into making that game something, right? Like, I don't feel like the Lions are a heavyweight team. I mean, I don't. And they might beat San Francisco, and San Francisco might beat them like a drum. And we'll all be sitting around either crying in our purple beer, or everyone has sex and has free beer, and there's free food, and there's a 2-week bender, and we're in the middle of. I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm worried about you being in the middle of all this, by the way, on Sunday. I don't know what happens when we go to a Super Bowl in Baltimore, but this is the first chance in really your lifetime and in my existence. I've been in a lot of these championship games. I think I told you I've been to a dozen of these games in different places where they've won at home and there's been a party, and where people solemnly, the drive, walk out of the stadium and be and feel like they've seen a ghost. Foxborough was that way, except for us. It was that way for us on the way back from Pittsburgh. It was that way on the way back from New England after Lee Evans dropped the ball and Cundiff missed a kick. And I should point out, Harbaugh choked on the timeout too, by the way. We always blame Cundiff and Evans. That was a coaching problem as much as it was anything in that game. But I would say this is the measurement. You know, this we've been waiting a long time. It's been a long time since we've been in an AFC Championship game, certainly one at home. The expectations are through the roof, and managing all of that and the emotions of all of it this week, this is going to be a really good football game. These are heavyweights, like I said, with the Kansas City Buffalo game. This is the fight everybody wants to see, Mahomes and Lamar.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it's wild. I was thinking about this in the closing moments of that game after Buffalo had missed the field goal wide right, which, my gosh, I mean, just talk about a tormented fan base to
I
lose in that
gasped
fashion.
when that
Yeah.
ball started to sail to the right.
Yeah.
I was out loud. It was like, oh my, no, not these poor people, not Rasig, not my friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all the going through tables and all that, but. All I was thinking, though, after that happened was, wow, I was thinking back to all the conversations you and I have had. And look, I mean, anyone, you know, any Ravens fan talking with fellow friends or fellow fans, how much time has been spent talking about the standard of this current Lamar Jackson era, talking about getting over the hump against Kansas City, beating Kansas City. And obviously they played them in 18, you know, it was actually Lamar's first loss as a starting quarterback in the NFL when they went out there and lost in overtime, you know, a really good football game. They lost in 19, they lost in 20, they beat them in 21. But we've spent so much time whenever you have those big picture conversations over the course of the season, and obviously so many of them over the course of the offseason, so much time has been spent talking about what it's going to take to beat Kansas City, to get past Kansas City, that it's, you know, it's kind of wild that it's taken this long to play them in the playoffs, you know, considering all those conversations over the better part of the last 4 or 5 years. So there's a lot of excitement on that front, but there's also an acknowledgement of be careful what you wish for. Not that the Ravens aren't favored and shouldn't be favored, and not that I'm not, you know, not that I won't pick the Ravens to win this football game, because I'm going to pick the Ravens to win this football game. But it is Patrick Mahomes. It is Andy Reid. It is the team that's been the standard since Tom Brady went down to Tampa Bay, and we've seen what's happened to the Patriots since then, who no longer have Bill Belichick as head coach. So this is the team that I said it in our previous conversation. I wrote it at BaltimorePositive.com. I posted it on social media. It was inevitable. Not to say that Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson wouldn't have been great fun, because it would have been, but this is the team you have to beat. In the same way that Joe Flacco had to get through Peyton Manning and then Tom Brady, it's Patrick Mahomes and it's the Chiefs, and give them credit. They have risen to the occasion the last couple of weeks, as much as, you know, there were people leaving them for dead. I mean, everyone saw how they played on Christmas Day. I mean, that was ugly as ugly can be, you know, to lose that game to the Raiders in the way they did. But They've played better. They're, still figuring out their red zone offense. There's no question about that. And I think if you're the Ravens defense, you're looking at that and saying, all right, we'll bend. But if they can't score in the red zone and we have a really great red zone off or defense, then they're going to be in trouble most likely because they're going to need to score touchdowns. I think that's going to be the key for this game is scoring touchdowns and not field goals, especially on the Kansas City side. So you have that, but I mean, this is the way it needed to be, right? If you're writing the storybook of the Baltimore Ravens getting to a Super Bowl, Lamar Jackson fulfilling the vow that he made the night he was drafted 32nd overall back in 2018, it was always going to be getting through Kansas City because Brady's no longer there. They're the new Patriots, and they have been. They've made three Super Bowls in the last 4 years. They've won two of them. They're the standard. So it's fitting. It's appropriate. There's no reason to hide from it. There's no reason to be scared about it, that they're facing the Kansas City Chiefs with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And the good thing is, and this is what makes it so exciting, as you were alluding to, get to play this game at home. And I mean, that's uncharted territory. Joe Flacco never played a home AFC championship game. The Ravens have never played one. John Harbaugh's never played in one in his 15-year tenure. So, or 16 years. So, and this is to your point, I think you said it before, this is why you lift all those weights. This is why you go through the offseason and OTAs and all the meetings and training camp and this opportunity, especially to play it at home. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this as far as your home stadium. And you said it, that it's going to be the difference of there's going to be confetti falling or it'll be very quiet right around what, 6:15 on Sunday. So,
Well, you felt
Ravens
that
are going to have to.
energy this weekend, right? At halftime,
Yeah.
you felt that energy of it gets very, very nervous. And I even text you in the middle of the Buffalo Chiefs game. I'm like, I have no idea who's going to win this game. Like, you get to that third quarter and it's 24-20, 23-17, whatever it's, because this isn't going to be 34-7 at halftime. I
Wouldn't think
just see,
so.
yeah, I see this as looking back and forth. And much like that, the Mile High Miracle game, where it was touchdown, 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 punt, punt, punt. I don't see teams scoring two and three in a row in this one. I see this as punch, counter punch. I see important third and fourth downs. I see field goals. This is a great football game. The Ravens are finally going to get a team of their ilk to me, and it might not even be of their ilk, but I think this is, to your point, this is the ultimate challenge for them. And I even spoke about this earlier, and it'll be blasphemy around here next week when they're playing the Lions and tickets are $14,000 to get in and like all of that. If that were to happen, well, look what we did to the Lions last time. Look what we did to San Francisco on Christmas night. It's easy. It's never easy with the Chiefs, right? You'll have a perception that you're going to win the Super Bowl if you get there. I don't know. This week, the perception is even the line at 3.5 that it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. And oh, he had never won on the road. Well, he just won again. And honestly, the kid doesn't fumble the ball down at the 1 yard line. That game is uglier than it was. I mean, Chiefs was they were markedly better than the Bills on Sunday night, I thought.
I mean, I don't know if the final score starts getting lopsided or anything like that, but look at it in terms, I mean, the Chiefs averaged 7.7 yards per play. Really what kept that game where it was, and look, I mean, let's be clear, it's not act like the Bills were awful in this game by any means, but I mean, look at the time of possession. I thought that was interesting. And you made mention of not feeling like this is going to be a shootout. And I think what's interesting about this game is I think both teams are going to have to look at their running game. I mean, Kansas City, Isaiah Pacheco, good. He's a good back. And look what he did. Had almost 100 rushing yards against the Bills on Sunday. I think Kansas City, more so than in the past, has relied more on its running game. Not more than its passing game, but more than they have in the past, where we can think of years where they were so one-dimensional offensively. And they were okay with that because you have the best quarterback on the planet. But just look at Sunday's game. I mean, Patrick Mahomes had what, 23 pass attempts, and I believe they had 24 rushing attempts. So I think you see a more balanced Kansas City team. And as we talked about, this Ravens defense, relatively speaking, its weakness has been stopping the run. And I think this is a Kansas City running game that poses more problems, certainly than Houston did this past week. So you have that factor. And then on the flip side, You look at the problems that Kansas City had slowing down Josh Allen running the football. Now, James Cook didn't have monster numbers running the ball, but Buffalo ran the ball effectively against them. And I think the Ravens are going to look at this and say, hey, Kansas City has a good defense, good front. They are better stopping the pass than they've been against the run. So I think, while I'm not saying the Ravens are going to revert to Greg Roman's offense, certainly I think with Lamar's willingness to run this past week and for the Ravens to have design runs built into their game plan, I think you're going to see much of the same because Kansas City really struggled to stop Josh Allen in that regard. So from that standpoint, when we're talking about the run game, when we're talking about both teams wanting to lean on their defense or needing to lean on their defense to play at a high level to win this ball game, yeah, that lends itself to it being, not saying 13-10, let's be clear about that, but lower scoring than, as you alluded to, the last time these teams played where both of them were scoring in the 30s on Sunday Night Football in week two, 2 years ago. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And look, that doesn't mean that Patrick Mahomes isn't going to pose the typical problems that he poses anytime you face him, because we did see kind of a rejuvenated Travis Kelce on Sunday night. They have Rashee Rice, who has been, the guy that's emerged as their top wide receiver. They don't have a whole lot else to write home about. And I'll say this much, they should put Mecole Hardman on the bench, considering he touched the ball twice and fumbled twice. So I would completely take him out of the picture. But, they've got some guys that, they're still searching. They're still not a typical Chiefs offense, but they've certainly moved the ball better these last couple weeks. But at the same time, Buffalo's defense isn't the Ravens' defense. Miami's defense at this point where they were in the wild card round with all their injuries, not even close to where the Ravens' defense is. So it's going to be a major test for Kansas City. As much as we're going to talk about the Chiefs and give them their respect as they've earned, they've earned that. At the same time, they need to be ready because they're coming into a buzzsaw in this Ravens defense that has been the best in football and just proved that again on Saturday night.
When you start to think about this one this week, and we'll break it down a little bit more, what other than Mahomes, what has you most concerned? I mean, just tactically in this game, in this matchup, having watched the Chiefs, Chiefs are a better defensive team than they've been. And I think that that part of it concerns me is that they've tried to tighten up the defense while the offense is, they're dealing with some of the things that Flacco dealt with in regard to salary cap, in regard to weapons, in regard to drop balls, all of those things that really plagued them and haunted them during the year. I mean, wouldn't shock me to see the Chiefs drop four passes on Sunday and lose 28-16 to the Ravens because of it. That would have been where they were all year. That's why they're on the road, quite frankly, because they drop passes. But there is a pedigree about all of this that we should be concerned. It'd be a whole lot more fun to be seeing the Dolphins this week, I think, or even the Bills to some degree.
I mean, I think the Bills, because they were so banged up, and that really showed up as their defense was just ravaged by injuries at the end, and that really cost them. As I mentioned, Kansas City, look at what they averaged on yards per play, and they won the game despite a pretty lopsided time of possession deficit. But I think what beyond Mahomes, I mean, and look, that you can kind of say Patrick Mahomes and let it rest if you really wanted to, because you're talking about a guy who has already won two Super Bowls. He's already won multiple MVPs. As much as we love Lamar Jackson here, and Lamar deserves all of his flowers for doing what he did Saturday night, Mahomes has been doing this, from the beginning, right? I mean, he sat for 1 year. Lamar sat for half a year. Mahomes sat for a year. But he came right in and, his very first year got to the AFC Championship game, and, it was a game the Chiefs easily could have won, that the Patriots, edged them out and barely won. But all this guy's done has been in the AFC Championship. So that's a big one, right? I mean, that's Captain Obvious right there. You don't need Luke the analyst to tell you that. But I already mentioned it before, their running game. Pacheco's a tough runner. We've seen the Ravens have their issues stopping the run against better running games. Teams like Houston were never going to run the ball effectively against them, but it is a pretty good running game. There's no doubt about that. And they've needed it to be, because they haven't been as proficient, as efficient throwing the football. And even Travis Kelce hasn't been the same guy that he had been in the past, although he had a big night against Buffalo. But on the flip side, I think you look at their defense. Steve Spagnuolo, he's someone that's not going to be afraid to try to deceive and do some things pre-snap that way, but they've got a good pass rush. Chris Jones is terrific defensive tackle, certainly poses problems there. And they do have a secondary that doesn't necessarily have a ton of big names that are guys that have been household names for years, but Trent McDuffie's really good. They've got other good players in that secondary. They've been really good against the pass this year. Their weakness is more so stopping the run, which lends itself very well to the Ravens when you have Lamar Jackson at quarterback. All that said, on paper, if you knew nothing about the history of the Kansas City Chiefs, you look at this game, the Ravens still have more advantages here. The Ravens are the better team on paper. Just talking about it, strictly looking at these rosters, looking at the strengths and weaknesses of these two teams. But you can't ignore that pedigree. And that's why I think anyone that's going to be overconfident this week, and I'm even speaking to fans. And normally I'm not the guy that does this because, hey, we're talking about the teams on the field. But, this is one of those where you don't want to upset the powers that be as it pertains to football. And, the people will say, don't upset the football gods by disrespecting Kansas City. That's not to say the Ravens should be
giving me
afraid of them.
locker room of bulletin board material. I heard Mike Tirico say bulletin board material, and I thought that's such a
I know,
1970s,
right?
right? Like bulletin board material in the era of Twitter, you
I
know?
mean, there's, I mean, there's the, maybe you'd say whiteboard material because they still do, they'll use the whiteboards with the dry erase markers and they'll use some of that stuff still. I mean, it's not all video and all virtual at this point, but yeah, I mean, the bulletin board material is funny, but I think as a, the Ravens respect the Chiefs and they should, but at the same time, there's no need to be afraid of them. I think we've talked about it. Yeah, it is Patrick Mahomes. Yes, it is Andy Reid. There's no doubt about that. And they're going to pose. They're going to be ready. They're going to give you their absolute best effort. But I'll say this much: if the Ravens give the Chiefs their absolute best effort and they play their best football game, Ravens go win this football game, and the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl then. So there's no reason to be afraid. You respect your opponent, and from a fan standpoint, you acknowledge that. Look, just the fact that the Chiefs are here after the way they looked a month ago speaks to everything you need to know about that team's championship pedigree. That not even close to being the best Chiefs team we've seen here recently, but they're here and they're still capable. And I'll say this for the Ravens. They've got to play a more complete 60 minutes than they played against Houston to win the football game. Because if you play that way offensively in the first half again, guessing it's not going to be 10-10. I'm guessing you're probably going to be playing from behind in that scenario. Again, nothing to be scared of. It's not a matter of being scared and just saying, woe is me. We can't beat the Chiefs. I don't think it's anything like that. But at the same time, I don't think it's as simple as, well, the Ravens were better. They were 13-4 and the Chiefs weren't. So you just roll the ball out and you're going to beat them because they aren't as good as they've been. It's still Patrick Mahomes. It's still Andy Reid. I think what is interesting, as I mentioned, that Kansas City defense, they haven't seen Lamar Jackson in a couple of years. And we talk about that factor all the time, right? With the NFC stuff, right? Those teams that don't see Lamar every year. It's been a minute. It's been over 2 years since Kansas City has seen Lamar Jackson. They haven't seen a Todd Monken Ravens offense. So that factor will be a little more interesting compared to, Houston had seen, Lamar Jackson. If we're talking about the Super Bowl, even. San Francisco saw Lamar Jackson recently. Detroit saw him earlier this year, and it did not
Yeah, they
mean
saw him. They're
say,
still chasing
yeah, exactly. Did not go well for them
Still trying to catch
whatsoever.
him.
At least San Francisco competed for a half. Detroit might as well not even gotten off the bus. It was that ugly. So from that standpoint, it's going to be really interesting. But got some really good coaches in this matchup. I mean, we haven't even mentioned
Well, I was gonna say Andy Reid and
yeah.
Spagnuolo. That's where I was going with this. Luke Jones is here, by the way. Let me reset here because we're doing a special radio row. It's so special we're not even leaving the city for it because we're gonna feature 100 charities here. It's my little Jerry Lewis telethon thing. We're calling it a cup of soup or bowl, and it is Crab Cake Row. It's gonna be beginning on February 5th. In the morning on Monday, 9 a.m., we're going live all week, 9 to 5. We're going to be down at Faithley's and Lexington Market Tuesday. We're going to be at Costas in Dundalk Wednesday. We're going to be at Coco's in Lauraville Thursday. We're going to be at State Fair. I got my State Fair shirt on here. I'm jonesing some of that cream of crab soup over there with a little corn in there and a chowder. It's delightful. It's velvety. Get on over and check that out. The crab and corn. They don't really call it soup. They call it chowder there. That's a Thursday at State Fair. Then on Friday, we're going to be up at Pappas having big old crab cakes and cream of crab soup and Maryland crab soup on behalf of the Maryland Food Bank. So what we're asking folks to do is very simple. Free soup if you come by and see the show. If you have a charity you want to promote, please let me know ahead of time. I'm slotting things right now. Ness@BaltimorePositive.com. Free soup for anybody that comes by if you bring some canned goods and some non-perishables for our friends at the Maryland Food Bank. It's the coldest week of the year. Don't need to tell you how cold it was last week. A lot of folks don't have food like the rest of us. My dad always talked about that. I'm doing this really to honor my father. My father's birthday's March 5th, but my father spent a year of his life in soup lines back in 1929, 1930, up in Pennsylvania, Scranton, Pennsylvania. As a young boy, he was 10 years old. He always told me about that. Luckily for me, I've never spent a night in my life. I've gone to bed hungry because, like, I ran out of ice cream or something like that, but I've never gone to bed hungry. So just keep that in mind as we're going through this. We're gonna have 100 other charities. All sorts of charities in all sorts of ways, all of them local. And we're going to be featuring them all week long as part of our live conversation. We're inviting our community to come out. And I'm hoping, Lucas, that the Ravens can figure Steve Spagnuolo out and that Andy Reid doesn't have some voodoo doll of John Harbaugh. But, you know, if I were writing Purple Rain 3, and I would encourage anyone in our community to write that, see, Jerry Coleman has a nice seat at the games. Maybe he can write Purple Rain 3. If you're writing Purple Rain 3, this is the road you want to go on, right? Part of the fun of writing Purple Rain 2 was beat the Colts at home, beat Peyton Manning, won in the Mile High, had a miracle, went to New England and did what they couldn't do the year before. And then Ed Reed and Jacoby Jones went home and danced down Bourbon Street to end Ray Lewis's career. I mean, like, it's storybook stuff. Part of this is Taylor Swift's coming to town. The Chiefs have all these pelts. The Chiefs have never played one of these on the road, right? Like all of these things that conspire in all of this. And then there's the pressure on Lamar if they're losing 13 to 10 at halftime, right? Like, because Lamar clearly from this past week when it was 10 to 10, this is across the bear for him because he came out of the chute with Goodell saying, believe that we're having a Super Bowl. And here's the day it's all going to happen. And it gets heavy and the air gets thick. And I think the weather's going to be decent. It may rain, but it's not going to be 15 degrees this week. So they're going to have that going on. The coaching matchup to me is going to be as interesting as any of the players on the field because we have championship coaches on one side. And then Harbaugh's got Monken and McDonald and a bunch of guys he believes in, and he's the right guy, and they have the right personnel. And they're bringing Kyle Van Noy, and they're bringing a couple of guys that have seen this kind of football before. But this is the biggest game a lot of these guys have played. And then we'll get to Marlon Humphrey and some of these guys, whether they're going to get there or not, and get onto the field. But the game's going to feel big at 3 o'clock on Sunday, bigger than anything that they've ever done, but not bigger than anything that Patrick Mahomes has done a handful of times.
Yeah, I'd be remiss not to mention John Harbaugh's played in these games before too. So, you know, he's coached in these games, so that certainly helps. But yeah, I mean, you look at it. I mean, with Andy Reid, look, he's seen it all at this point in time. I think it's going to be fascinating seeing what he and Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City offense that is not the explosive offense that we've seen in prior seasons. I mean, you know, even if you paid a quarter of attention to all the talk about Kansas City this year, you know that wide receiver has been an issue for them, although Rashee Rice has really emerged for them to be their number one guy. And he's been good. He's been really good. Problem is, after him, you kind of shrug your shoulders and say, well, Kadarius Toney, you know, people have laughed at him. Valdez Scantling has has dropped passes and hasn't been good enough
these are the
for
guys you
them.
don't want on your fantasy team as opposed to other years you just picked up free points just for having you pick Kelsey up you win you know period right
Well, Kelsey's, you know, even a down Travis Kelsey is still certainly a great player, but you know, even he hasn't been as good. But yeah, I mean, other than Rashee Rice, I mean, Valdez Scantling, everyone remembers him dropping the pass. What was that in the Philadelphia game? I think it was Kadarius Toney. I mean, Sky Moore, who was on IR, I think he's, working his way back, but he was a guy that they had high hopes for. So they've had their issues. So it's been much more of a grind for them. That's why I mentioned that Isaiah Pacheco, Edwards-Helaire to a lesser extent, but really Pacheco has been so key for them, running the football and having that kind of an identity. It's been much more of a run the ball and play defense kind of team than it's been in past years. So that said, it's still Mahomes. It's going to be fascinating. You mentioned Steve Spagnuolo. You've mentioned, the Ravens going up against that coaching staff. I mean, Kansas City hasn't seen Mike McDonald and this Ravens defense and the pre-snap disguise. And let's face it, the Chiefs, they had their way with the wink defenses for the most part. There were, 2018 to an extent. The second half of that 21 game, they did get some key stops late in that game, but by and large, Kansas City had their way against the Wink Martindale defenses here in
Well, you
Baltimore.
were
So,
always trying to get to Mahomes and you couldn't get to him, right? Like that was part of the gig, and he would get rid of the ball.
and really, we know Wink loved the blitz, and
Right.
the one thing that you typically now maybe a little bit different this year, but historically, you don't blitz Patrick Mahomes because he just kills you. And the Ravens learned that year after year after year. It's, I don't want to say it's one of the reasons Wink isn't here anymore, but that mindset needed to shift in the organization's mind. And Mike McDonald does, much more of a variety of things and a lot of pre-snap disguise and simulated pressures, things like that. He's just taken to another level. So that's going to be a fascinating matchup. But on the flip side, I mean, Steve Spagnuolo, as I mentioned, it's a Kansas City defense that isn't great stopping the run. So that's a big edge for the Ravens. I mean, they're going to have to figure out the best way to not let Lamar kill you running the football. But at the same time, how do you do that without compromising your pass defense? And again, that's, I mean, that's just the catch 22 that you're the stress that you're constantly in to try to slow this Ravens offense when it's really humming and firing on all cylinders. It's almost impossible. So really it's going to be, for me, it's going to come down to Kansas City's offense trying to run the ball, trying to sustain drives and kind of trying to do what the Ravens and other teams have tried to do against them for years, which is keep them off the field, keep their offense off the field. I think Kansas City is really going to try to do that as much as they can. So
Shorten the game for
yeah,
by
I mean, I,
far on the road, right?
yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're going to try to do that. Now, will they? Time will tell. But boy, you've got a lot of really talented coaches in this matchup. I mean, it's fun. And, we haven't even mentioned, I mean, John Harbaugh, Andy Reid's pupil for, his Andy Reid mentored him all those years in Philadelphia. I mean, it's a long time ago at this point in time, but Andy Reid, what? I think five, I want to say 5-2 in his coaching career against John Harbaugh. Two of those games, of course, when Reid was still in Philadelphia, but 4-1 since he became Kansas City's head coach. So the Ravens have won the most recent one, 2 years ago, but Andy Reid has had that edge. And in fairness, Andy Reid typically has had better teams over that period of time than John Harbaugh in general. So I don't think it's an indictment. It's just the reality of where Kansas City has been and where the Ravens have been trying to get for a long time as far as being the best. So looking forward to this. I'm going to be fascinated to see what both of these teams come up with from a coaching standpoint. But I think both teams are going to try to run the football. I think that's key. And you kind of look at the weaknesses of each of those defenses. And, I think both teams are going to try to confuse the other quarterback, knowing that that's easier said than done when you're talking about Mahomes, who's the standard, and Lamar, who's been the best this season. So can't ask for any better than that. So, I mean, like I said, the Ravens are favored. They should be favored. I'm picking the Ravens. I'm not going to shy away from that. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that they aren't going to have a heck of a challenge on their hands come Sunday afternoon.
To quote our Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons, you wanted the best, you got the best.
Yeah.
So
Why
that's
hide
pretty
from
much
it?
where it is, right?
Why
Let's go do
hide?
it. Luke's going to be at Owings Mills all week. I'm going to be around all week. We have an unbelievable richness of guests all week long. You're going to hear from Brian Billick and Marvin Lewis and Brandon Stokely and Kim Herring from the original Super Bowl team. You're going to hear from Joe Flacco. We're going to hear from Peter King this week. Lots and lots of great guests. Dan Pompey is coming on, who spent some time with Roquan Smith last week out in Owings Mills. So lots and lots to get you ready. And I haven't even gone out to Kansas City and got my Kansas City people together. Luke's going to be at Owings Mills all week. Any breaking news you get first on the WNST Tech Service. We are doing Crab Cake Row, a cup of soup or bowl, beginning on February 5th downtown. All the information will be up at Baltimore Positive later on in the week. I am Nestor. He's Luke. Stay with us. It's championship week here. I've never said that before. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Super Bowl, a cup of Super Bowl, and Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.